We are thinking this morning about a starting point in the book of Isaiah is trees. Because one of the things I love about Isaiah is it's a good book for me. It's got bits to colour in. There are loads of pictures. And we start off with a picture of two trees. I'll explain what that's got to do with four people I'm going to introduce us to now. So this is Bert. And Bert is 9 years old. And life for Bert at the moment is great. He's top of his class at school, and somehow, no one's quite sure how they've done it, his parents have managed to wrangle a trip to Disney World despite all the restrictions this summer. It's amazing! And he's saying to himself, well, do you know what? It's this Jesus stuff, it's great if you've got problems, but my life is fine. It's full of joy already. Why do I need anything else? That's Mary. She's in Bert's class as well, but she's at the bottom of the class. And her parents are splitting up, and she's taking it really hard. And she's saying, "What? Why is it worth keeping following Jesus? Because he doesn't seem to be doing very much for me. There doesn't seem to be much joy in my life at the moment." And then there's Sally. Sally is doing really well. She's retiring early at the top of her game. Very successful career. Very healthy bank account. Lifetime of golf and cruises ahead of her. And she's looking at people at the church she used to go to, and she's going, they're a bit old, they're a bit weird, they can't sing. You know, that's nothing to do with lockdown, they just can't sing at the best of times. Why on earth would I want to go back there? And then there's Terry, who's a bit older than Sally and feels a lot older, and lockdown's been hard for him. And a couple of people at church recently have said really thoughtless things to him. He's really upset about it. And he's saying, why would I want to go back there? It just doesn't seem to be a particularly joyful place to me at the moment. And the thing is about all four of those people, they look so different, don't they? Bert and Mary are young, Sally and Terry are older. Bert and Sally, life is great. Mary and Terry, things are really hard. They're all making the same mistake. They're all making the same mistake, and it's the mistake you and I make day after day after day, which is to think that things will always be the way they are now. To think that the way things are now is the way that things will always be. And Bert and Sally think life will always be great. Mary and Terry think it will always be awful. But these two pictures we get at the start of Isaiah chapter 11 say things will change dramatically. And Isaiah's going to show us this morning how and why. Boys and girls, if you've got the sheet there, you might like to draw those two pictures for us. One is of a tree. That's what we got at the end of chapter 10, this massive tree, so solid, or a forest of trees, a bit like that conker tree outside. It's so solid, you can't imagine anything happening to it. It's so robust. And there's a stump. And a stump is like, that's what you get when you've chopped down a tree. So we've got our massive trees there, and we've got our stump there. And the thing about it, that the stump is, it looks like a picture of death and destruction. So Sally and Bert feel like their life at the moment is flourishing like a giant tree. Mary and Terry feel their life is like a stump. What happens to the tree at the end of Isaiah 10 is that it gets chopped down. All the things that look so strong and solid and real have gone. And this stump is left. And both Assyria, the great nation of the time, and Israel, the small nation of the time, are left like stumps. But there's a difference. See, chapter 11, verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. See, a stump, it looks dead as a doornail, but there's this tiny little shoot we can see on the screen coming up out of the stump. It's growing again. There is life hidden in something that looks completely dead. And what we discover is that this shoot is a person. It is a king. We met him in chapter 9. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. And we read there, as Shane took us through it a few weeks ago, what it would be like when this king came the first time as a baby. Today, we're going to read about what it's going to be like when he comes back. And it is amazing. So the way things are, we're going to learn this morning, is not the way they will always be, because the good king is coming. The way things are now is not the way they will always be, because the good king is coming. Listen to this, chapter 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He's like Solomon, but even better. Boys and girls, you might like to fill in the blanks on that heading there. The way things are now isn't the way they'll always be, because the good king is coming. And he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, which means he's going to be really different to you and me. So we've got a picture there of two people. On that side is a boxer, and he's got gloves on, and his hobby is punching people, and he looks a bit mean, doesn't he? And on the other side, there's a doctor, and he looks kind of, you know, heroic and very nice. He looks like he's kind of saving lives. So if I told you a crime had been committed, which of those two would you assume is guilty? Let's do a vote. Who thinks the doctor looks dodgy? Shane? Everyone who works in the NHS, anyone who's got any connection to the NHS is going straight for the doctor. That tells you something, doesn't it? What about the boxer? Does he look dodgy? Yeah. See, we judge with our eyes, don't we? We don't even know what crime it is. Maybe it's a multi-billion dollar accounting fraud of the NHS. Maybe someone's been poisoning their patients. We don't know. We judge with our eyes. To use the kind of modern lingo, we're full of unconscious bias. This king's not going to be like that. He doesn't judge by his eyes or decide by what he hears. We hear someone's accent, and straight away we pigeonhole them. Oh, you're a bit too scouse. You're a bit too posh. You're a bit too stokey. You've got to be dodgy. This king's not like that. He's totally fair, totally just. With righteousness, he'll judge the needy. With justice, he'll give decisions for the poor of the earth. He'll strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. And so the Bible tells us that this is a king who is going to look at people's hearts and judge them fairly, like Solomon, but even wiser, even better. And when King Jesus came, descended from David, from the stump of David, the whole kingdom had been wiped out, the kings had been wiped out. It was like a stump left, and yet this tiny, very small, very unimpressive shoot, just a little baby born in a stable, becomes this king of such wisdom and insight, who will judge the world with perfect justice. The way things are now is not the way they will always be, because the good king is coming. But secondly, the way things are now is not the way things will always be, because the good kingdom is coming. What happens when this good king comes? He brings a good kingdom. Okay, so boys and girls, you should have a bit of paper there. On the paper there, some questions for a biology test. Ready for this? Hopefully it's not too hard a test. We got it on the screen. Let's imagine that we snuggle up in a pen together, a wolf and a sheep. Who do you think is going to enjoy that more? Votes for the lamb? Votes for the sheep. The wolf, there we go, yeah. The wolf, the wolf is looking for the mint sauce, isn't he? He's going to enjoy that a lot more. Woody Allen said, the lion will lie down with the lamb, but the lamb won't get much sleep. What about a leopard and a goat? Who's going to enjoy that more? The goat, votes for the goat. You sure, Amelia? Oh, well, maybe. Okay, votes for the leopard? Yeah, I think we know how this is going down, don't we? All right, what happens if you have a lion? There's three this time. There's a lion, a little baby cow, and a cute little boy. Who's your money on enjoying this sleeping arrangement, like kind of nice, kind of cuddle down in a pen somewhere? Who thinks the boy's going to enjoy that? Who thinks the cow's going to enjoy that? Who thinks the lion's going to have a great time? Yeah, okay, we're getting the idea. Okay, let's imagine that cute little boy. He's a bit sad about being penned up with a lion, so we get him a present to cheer him up. We get him a pet. How about we get him a pet rattlesnake? Do you think he's going to enjoy that? No, he's not. What a rubbish Christmas present that would be. It's only in Disney movies that those animals can get along together. And in the kingdom of the good king. Listen to this. The wolf, verse 6, will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. And the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. Can you imagine that? The ox going, oi, this is my straw. And the lion going, oh, well, you know, we can go back to the way things were if you like. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. The young child put its hand into the viper's nest. They'll neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Imagine what that would be like. It sounds so unreal, doesn't it? And yet at the same time, it's so real. We can imagine it. We can think, what would it be like? Actually, I can't quite imagine it. I can't quite imagine what it'd be like to go swimming safely with a crocodile. But, you know, it's going to happen. As Samwise Gamgee says at the end of Lord of the Rings, everything sad is coming untrue. That is what the kingdom of the good king will be like. And we need to say to Bert and Sally that it's great to enjoy the good things in this life with grateful hearts. That's wonderful. But if that is all your joy is based on, it won't last. We need to say to Mary and Terry, yes, life is very, very hard now. But that won't last either. The way things are now is not the way things will be. Because the good king is coming. And when he comes, he brings the good kingdom to put everything right. Let's come back to Isaiah 12. Because we've thought that there are these two parts to these two pictures in Isaiah. There's the stump and there's the flourishing tree. Life can look great like the flourishing tree. It can look terrible like the dead stump, but the way things are now is not the way they will be. And so we are to sing for joy. We are to sing for joy. See, as human beings, we can do that thing of being able to predict how things are going to change. See, boys and girls, anyone tell me what happened on Monday, last Monday? What was special about the day, 21st of June? Why is that a significant day? Anyone know? Scott, help us out.
Longest day,
brilliant. So what happens to the evenings from now on? They get shorter, don't they? And I just kind of love these long summer evenings, and I just kind of start to get aware that they're changing. Things are changing. They don't stay the same. It's coming towards the end of term, and you know those school shoes that fit so comfortably now, you know what's going to happen the day before term starts, don't you? You're going to suddenly realise that they don't fit anymore. Things don't stay the same way, and when we think about it, we can see it. And the Bible gives us what we need to know, how things are going to change. So Jesus' kingdom right now looks very weak, doesn't it? We're spread out, so it looks like there's a few more of us, but there's not a huge number of us in the building, not a huge number of us online. We feel pretty weak, pretty frail and fragile and vulnerable. I don't know if anyone else has felt this. I think I felt the effects of the lockdown more this week than I have done at any point in the last 18 months. And I've just seen it, I think, in our relationships. There have been a number of times when I've just thought, we just feel a little bit more on edge than we have done for a while. And it's hard. We're tired, of course, but we're physically, spiritually, emotionally worn down. But the king is coming. The king is coming to the real world with lions and crocodiles and stuff to turn everything the right way around. So, okay, let's make sure I've got that right around. There we are. Okay, can we see that? If you're at the back and you can't see it, there we go. Can anyone give me some words to describe what that lady looks like? She looks like a man. Oh, poor lady. What else? What words? Gabriel, what do you think she looks like? Does she look happy?
Yes.
No. She does, Matt. No. Any other words? What words might we use to describe her?
Ill.
Yeah, she does not look like a well lady, does she? Sorry, can you see that in Zoom world? There we go. There we are. Any other words to describe what she's like? Old. Sorry. Grumpy. Yeah, we're talking about the picture, or we're talking about me. There we are. Okay, what happens when this king comes is that he turns everything the right way around. He turns everything the right way around. John's already done it. He's so many steps ahead of me. The king comes and he turns everything the right way around. And so what happens in Isaiah chapter 12 is the polar opposite of what we'd expect. Do you remember last week? We were reading about the righteous, good anger of God. His hand is still upraised. His wrath is not turned away. So if we were going to make up what Isaiah 12 was going to read, I think we would expect it to say something like this. I will be terrified of you, O Lord, for you are angry at me. Your anger hasn't turned away. You have scared me witless. You've scared the life out of me. Behold, God is my destruction. I will not trust and be afraid. The Lord is my weakness and my moan. He's become my destruction. With sorrow you will draw sewage from the wells of destruction. That would be the logical place to end Isaiah 1 to 12, wouldn't it? We've had this eyes higher message through the opening chapters. We've heard that God is so much better than we think he is. We are so much worse than we think we are. This is how we would expect it to end. And so, boys and girls, if you've got the sheet there, there should be some words on there. See if we can rewrite this into what it actually says. I will be terrified of you, O Lord. What words do we need to take out? Can anyone help us with that? James, you got those there?
Yep.
What do you reckon? I will. Well done. What words do you reckon we might put in there? Anyone got any ideas for that first line? Instead of I will be terrified of you, it becomes I will. Anyone shout it out? You're welcome to cheat if you've got the Bible open in front of you. I will. Thank you. I will praise you. Isn't that clever? That's so pleasing. I love PowerPoints. You are angry at me. Yeah. No, it's the past tense, not you are angry at me. You were angry at me. Thank you. Your anger hasn't turned away. Oh, yes, it has. Brilliant. Thank you. You have scared the life out of me. No. What does God do to his people? He puts life into them. I love that. That is a great translation. The James translation is, I've nailed it. You have comforted me. And again, we get this word, instead of destruction, the Lord is my salvation. I will not trust and be afraid. We just need to rearrange some of these words. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is not my weakness, but my
strength.
Very good. He's not my moan. He's my
happiness.
Good guess. He's my song. He's become my, we've said this already, my salvation. With sorrow, you won't draw sewage. What are you going to drink? Water. From the well, with joy you'll draw water from the wells of salvation. That's the gospel, isn't it? Everything turned the right way up again, the way we always longed for it to be. The gospel turns everything the right way up because the good King has come. And it is not a coincidence we're looking at these verses today. I remember thinking when we were putting the sermon series together that we would likely to be just feeling a bit weak and a bit fragile and frail. Maybe for some of us life feels great at the moment. For others of us life feels a bit kind of like we're wrecked. And church feels very, very vulnerable. And this is what we need to hear, that this is not the end of the story. And it means that when at the end of the service we go outside, if you're going to stick around and sing together, which I hope lots of us will, we are doing something radical and revolutionary. To go out and sing for joy brings together worship and evangelism. Verse 4, in that day you'll say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he's done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he's done glorious things. Let this be known to the world. Shout aloud, sing for joy, people of Zion, for great among you is the Holy One of Israel. See, who is left singing for joy at the moment? You heard anyone sing for joy recently? We heard the footballers singing the other day from the Bowie. It was loud. I wouldn't say it was joyful. I did some research the other day because the pop industry is still singing. Yes, they went on listen to the top 40. Of the top six, three of the songs are about breaking up. Your ex. One is about wanting to go on holiday. I won't mention in the presence of young ears. And the sixth one is just plain creepy. I felt so middle-aged that by the time I got to the end of the top six, I couldn't keep going. None of them are singing for joy. What do we get to do? Whatever life is like at the moment, we may feel like Sally and Bert with life going great. We may feel like Terry and Mary. Life feels awful. Do you know what? We get to sing for joy. That's that lovely image. With joy, you'll draw water from the wells of salvation. Imagine living in a hot Middle Eastern country. And you're thirsty the whole time. You're given access to a well full of clear, fresh water. And it's cool and it's refreshing. And you can go to it whenever you want and it never runs dry. That's what this king is like, this good king. He brings a good kingdom. He brings life. He brings joy. Amen.